You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I can get anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on the throne? I wonder where you are and live with all your faults. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you fight?
8 minutes after 9 o'clock. Our World Cup correspondent joins us now, Michael Musselman. France just defeated Uruguay. I was not impressed with Uruguay's effort towards the end. Mike, give me your thoughts on the game, on the match.
What's going on?
Nothing. We're talking World Cup soccer. Did you watch? Hello?
Okay. Nope. Song's still playing. There we go.
What, talk to me about World Cup. Did you watch the game this morning?
Yeah, it just ended a little bit ago. France won 2-0.
I thought it was 2-0.
2-0. I'm speaking for you guys.
I know, but we're in the third week of it, so we habla now, okay? We habla.
Oh, okay, so you understand.
We understand. I was not impressed with Uruguay's effort, I have to tell you.
No, and I was, man, I hope all is well with that family member of the Uruguay goalie.
But you know what? Second goal didn't matter. If they would have tied it up, then his family would have been in jeopardy because he let in one of the softest goals of the tournament. Yeah, hit him right in the hands.
Yeah.
Describe the goal, Mike.
It was a shot from about just outside the box, the box right there by the goalie. And it wasn't a blistering shot. I mean, it was a straight shot, but he decided to palm it, which he was just going to put his hands up and deflect it, which I don't understand. Why would he, you know, that players in that close proximity, you want to grab the ball. Goalie can touch the ball, pick it up. So he opted to just palm it, which is flat palms kind of deflect it. And he didn't, for some reason, didn't lock his arms out, but he had them all mushy, you know, spaghetti arms. And when the ball hit his palms, the recoil of his arms kind of gave back, and the ball allowed him to go up, hit the crossbar, and then down into the goal.
Okay, do you think the ball knuckled on him a little bit because it's kicked?
He
goes to move. There's no rotation on the ball. Those balls kind of move like knuckleballs sometimes.
Yeah, no. There's some really good saves that you see that were, you know, knuckleball, where there's no spin on them. You know, if you look closely, though, there's not a lot of spin on soccer balls anyway when they're kicking them really hard. So, I mean, to get a spin on, so you could kick, there's, you know, several ways you kick, but the power is kind of, they call it the, you know, in the V. So your foot, your toes going up your foot to your arc of your ankle. And then that's that V. When you come in and you kick, like you kick a football, you know, that's where you really get a lot of power with that. And then the passing kick, and then the other kicks are on the side of your foot. You know, kind of what there's a couple of football players or football kickers that kick soccer style, you know, on the side of their foot. Not a lot of power, but more control. And you can get some spin on the ball kicking it inside of your foot. Whereas on the flat part of your foot, man, that's just sheer power. And you can really, if you can crank that leg, ooh, those balls hum, dude.
Yeah, I know. You see them get smoked by guys who can play that game. And, yeah, it's a soft save. And so he's, but again, second goal, hopefully nobody does anything crazy. Not that it might not happen. But what's the other game today?
Belgium and Brazil.
Oh.
That's going to be the biggie. Yeah. Belgium didn't play very good last time. They barely made it to where they're at now. They played great in the series, but then when it came to the elimination, they didn't look so great. So they better pull it out, because Brazil is a very offensive team. They can attack.
So
better play up your A game.
What's the guy's name that plays for Brazil? Namaste? What is his name?
Oh, no. You're talking about the blonde, the guy who dyed his hair blonde.
Namaste. That's a yoga term.
Yeah. It's the...
Come on, new, what's his name?
New Brazilian
player. No, Neymar.
Neymar.
Not almost namaste. I was close. All right, let me read your story and tell me what you think. According to the IG of the Marine Corps, Marine General used aid as a servant during an Iraq deployment.
Yeah, I saw that. I read that.
Okay, his defense, I was frocked. I didn't know what I was doing. What do you think?
I didn't go to general school.
Some of the stuff is so
money from his aid. Dude, wait. They teach you that at TBS. They give you that as an example of what not to do when you're a second lieutenant. You know, he could have been at dental during that class. Just saying, folks. Just saying.
What? All right, from May 2016 to June 2017.
I know, dude. It's so sad.
This guy's name is Uribe, was the senior ranking Marine in Iraq as part of the anti-ISIS coalition. He was the deputy commanding general for operations in Baghdad and director of Combined Joint Operations Center. He was me. I could have been that guy. He told investigators he was often working 18-hour days to support the Iraqi security forces, maneuvering to retake cities such as Fallujah and Mosul.
Right.
But this is where it gets even better. Before deploying to Iraq, the general served as inspector general. He had responsibility of investigating ethical violations involving the misuse of subordinates. What?
Yeah, and he does. This can't get any better. I thought, when I started reading it, I had to go back up to the top, like, okay,
April Fools?
Where's the joke?
Come on, this is a... In
his
own defense, Uribe said he was a frocked brigadier general, meaning he was a colonel.
But, okay, so in his defense, though, Mac, he is an aviator.
Oh! So he's not a real Marine.
He is a pilot.
Not a real Marine.
He's a real pilot. He's a pilot.
They don't do leadership.
Yeah,
Rudy just...
They don't understand.
Rudy just ripped out his headset. We do, too. I was in charge of the tool room as a lieutenant colonel. All right, bro.
I made sure there's no missing tool.
You supervising two lance corporals is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about leadership. Some of the personal...
Okay, so this was great, though. This is the quote that I really loved. Ready? In his own defense, Ruby said, I was frocked, like you said. Brigadier General, meaning he was a colonel who was selected for promotion and wore the rank of general, and had never had an aide or any instruction or guidance beyond a few general slides about the use of aide. He said he trusted his aide to tell him what he was asking her to do something improper. The aide, who is unnamed in the report, told investigators she had told him, I'm doing a lot more stuff like personal items like that. That's not my job as an aide. Why didn't you say that, then? Go to the chief. You know, because he's got to have a chief staff, right?
Right. Of course.
The aide also alleged that he hoarded about $150 in chocolates and coffee sent him by the lieutenant colonel. The investigation found Uribe told an officer in an email he would share the goodies. That's why it's like, dude, this is... I was looking for, like, okay, this smells just like Zoldra writing this for the Duffel blog.
But it's not.
I had to, like, go and research this in a couple areas just to make sure.
Okay, let me just tell you. when you're a high-ranking officer, and I know this because I used to forage, they have, like, we get care packages. They get really good care packages. So if you're going to forage for good stuff, yeah, go into a colonel or a general's office, and they get, like, care packages on steroids. Now, I would say this. The majority of them just rip them open and put them in a stack, and you steal them. So I used to go into Larry Nicholson's office in Fallujah because he had some awesome care packages, and they just sat in his corner. And so,
oh, yeah.
He used to work late at night. He'd be working at 2 a.m. doing stuff. And so I'd go rolling into his office. I'd come around the corner and he'd look up and I'd say, "What are you still doing here, sir?" He's like, "Why?" I said, "Cause I'm getting ready to steal some food out of here and you're supposed to be gone." Like, "Well, Mac, don't let me cramp your style." I said, "Well, I normally like to do this in the privacy of my own workspace, but as long as you're here."
Right.
And he would laugh.
I mean, it gets so good though, because I mean, it's talking about like then the aide is asked. Bill Mullen was the guy there before him, and they came back and said, Mullen never allowed his aide to pick up his laundry, carry things for him, deliver meals, or perform other such personal services. When asked if an aide should perform such duties, Mullen's aide said, "No, I am a leader of Marines." "Am I a leader of Marines or am I a valet?" "Well, you're kind of both there, yeah. Aide." That's what my answer would have been. Yeah. Don't get snippy with me, okay?
Yeah.
You're not really a leader as an aide. You are a valet. You're in the middle ground. So
yeah.
Don't add any more to it, okay? Yeah. I'll let this one slide.
Let's not get carried. But as the article points out, the problem that you have in all this is the current Secretary of Defense carries his own bags, does his own laundry. He doesn't ask him to do anything.
There's going to be no – yeah.
The other problem
is – there's going to be no quarter given to Uribe when this goes up in front of DOD.
Yeah. The other problem is when your female aide throws your shit in the street, right?
Yep.
You're in trouble. And let me just tell you, these are the things that she told the IG, okay?
Yep.
There's probably another sheet of paper somewhere that's got some stuff that she didn't even go to the IG with. Like, "Yeah, I can't do this with you. I've given them enough with this. I don't need to go to that. I don't need to go to the Armageddon option."
And see, so he's an aviator. He's got gold jump wings. Does that mean that he got jumped out of 5 airplanes to get those jumped?
Yes.
Sure.
You have to.
He bailed out of 5 airplanes.
He's got a bronze star.
See, he's got some ribbons that are probably going to be in question here.
Oh, see, now he's going to get the white hot spotlight shined right up his ass. Bronze star.
Yeah.
Bronze star looks like he has a V. Yes or no?
Yeah, looks like he has a V. That's what I'm like. Huh.
I'm scrutinizing.
I am. He's got a Legion of Merit. So do I. General, not out of. Big deal.
Mike's a general officer, so he got one. The bronze star with a V.
Yeah, he's got a purple heart.
And a combat action ribbon. So he did some ground time. Maybe an Anglico guy?
Maybe. But as a general?
No. Got the air medal and the combat action ribbon, so.
He's got the President's Unit Citation, so that means he was in the march up.
Maybe he was an air officer for somebody.
But he's also got the reserve medal down at the bottom. He's a reservist. Yeah, you are in. I mean, we are scrutinizing your medals, buddy. You can't have the GWAT. He has the GWAT in it. Man, this guy, I don't know, man. Come on.
All right, now that we're officially.
Wait a second. Yeah. He has the Kuwaiti. Does he have the Kuwaiti Liberation? Because he sure has the.
Okay, hold on. He's from Hacienda Heights, California, entered the Marine Corps in 1989 through the Platoon Leaders Class program at Cal Poly Pomona, earning his BS in civil engineering. Completed the basic school in 1990 as his company's Iron Mike and was selected to participate in the U.S. military pentathlon.
Whoa.
1992, he graduated from flight school. I might have taught him, Lieutenant Uribe. Get over here. Although by 1990, I was at IOC. Upon designation as a naval aviator assigned to Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point for conversion into KC-130 Hercules aircraft.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
He's a cargo driver.
Exactly. He was assigned to
bus driver.
Aerial Refuel Transport Squadron out of El Toro, living the good life. Participated in operations Restore Hope, Continue Hope, and Distant Runner that were all in Kenya. 1996, he was assigned to 1st Anglico at Camp Pendleton. Served as the deck commander with the 13th Marine Expeditionary Unit, but we weren't doing anything then. Uribe participated in operations.
Hey, go back though.
What?
Okay, go ahead. Finish there.
Silent Assurance, Southern Watch, which I believe was in Iraq, the no-fly zone thing in Iraq. I think that's what that was.
Yeah.
Okay, in 1990, he goes back to the C-130 refuelers at Miramar, graduated from WTI. He served as the Director of Safety and Standardization for the... The Squadron WTI, what does Squadron WTI do in a KC-130 squadron?
Everybody gets the opportunity. They just refuel the jets at WTI. They plan the refueling operation.
Okay, that's pretty high speed. Was a detachment commander for the aerial refuelers in Operation Northern Watch. 2001, listen to this. Head of operational evaluations for the KC-130 at Naval Air Station Pox River. That means he's a test pilot.
Paxton River. So he's a test pilot, yeah.
Deployed to Afghanistan in support of Operation Enduring Freedom and Iraq supporting Operation Iraqi Freedom. And let me tell you, that makes sense because the C-130s in the Marine Corps, they go, right? I mean, they no shit.
But they stay at nice places though.
Yeah,
they don't
yes.
go to like.
No, they don't do shitty places. They do nice places. For instance, we didn't keep them up at Al Asad. They stayed down in Kuwait.
They were at Kandahar too.
Yeah, so they only stayed in nice places. In September 2004, Uribe was assigned to Headquarters Marine Corps Aviation Plans and Policies. Deployed as an individual augment to Al Anbar Province forward as a forward air controller in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom with the 1st Marine Division, served with numerous Marine Coalition Joint Iraqi and Special Operations units. That's where he got his combat action stuff. So he leaves the Pentagon. That must have been as a lieutenant colonel?
That would have been, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So then as a colonel, commands the Raiders of VMGR, that would be Fixed Wing Marine.
352 out of Miramar.
There you go. And when he commanded it, they were chosen as Marine Aerial Refueler Transport Squadron of the Year. How many of those squadrons do we have? Two or three?
Two. So he's got a 50-50 shot. Go ahead.
Attended the U.S. Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania with that big...
Well, maybe they have one, and they just have deaths out of that one, yeah. I know Rudy, if he's going to listen, he's going, he's rolling his eyes.
I know, he's just pissed, right? Aviators, they don't... see no humor.
We're picking on a refueler, so he's kind of... Yeah... They share the same wings, but that's about it.
All right, so he was selected for his present rank and assumed the duties of the IG of the Marine Corps. So he wasn't like the IG of one of the MEFs. He was the IG of the Marine Corps in August 2015.
Good. Man, this is not going to help his case.
Let me tell you, when you're the IG of the Marine Corps, you see everything. You see some good shit, man. And it involves general officers. And so, dude,
you... Oh, you're learning curve. I mean, it's not even a curve. It's a cliff. You learn right away what's right and wrong, what you can get away with in the Marine Corps, and what's going to put you in jail.
Yeah, 2015 he was the IG, okay? So, in spite of all that, he goes... He had his aide go do shit like, hey, I want you to go to the gym, and when this bench opens up, I want you just to sit there and hold it for me. What?
At yeah. The IG?
No, this is when he was in Iraq here recently. That's one of the things he did. Go to the gym and hold this machine for me. Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah, so then he goes...
Well, we picked a female aide, which is kind of... Come on.
Well, what do you mean? Come on. Explain that.
I mean... This is all now, like, personal servitude. He wanted this image. He's an image guy. He picked a female aide, you know. I don't know, man. This guy, he's toast, dude.
Yo, come on. Are you kidding me? There's some things that you can do in the Marine Corps. There's some things you can't do. General R.A. Uribe? Doesn't say his first name. What did he...
Arturo.
Richard Arturo. Ricardo Arturo?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, he is, his name's Rick. He is, he's in trouble. Hold on, let me read you an email. You guys are brutal, man. This guy's going down, and all you guys are doing is dumping fuel on the fire. Okay. He deserves it. This is stupid.
Yeah, he, as a general officer, come on.
Come on.
And then to use the defense that he didn't know.
I didn't know.
And that slideshow to be a general officer. Now he just, I didn't know there was a slideshow to be a general officer.
Huh?
Don't
what?
Fall asleep in the PowerPoint slideshow.
Exactly. Oh, you, I didn't know. It's, this sounds like the George Costanza event. Like, remember, George gets called into the, like, I can't remember whose office, either HR or, like, the president of the organization. And the guy says, did you have sex with a cleaning lady during working hours on your desk? And George says, is that wrong? I don't recall in the handbook that was addressed. This sounds like a George Costanza moment for the Marine Corps, except the guy was the damn IG. They see, if I was the IG, I would be like, I'd be on the phone with Mike every day. Dude, you got to see this one. And you'd be like, man, come on. No, this is a good one. This is better than the one yesterday. This stupid people attempting to win stupid prizes in the Marine Corps. And you see all of it. All of it. All of it. So.
Mm-hmm. No quarter is going to be given to this guy, man.
No. No, 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 no. And let me tell you.
Yeah.
And if you're gonna
Dunford is the top guy and Madison's top guy, those guys that are
Yeah, they don't.
And Neller, I mean,
they don't step.
Neller
is. Yeah, they don't step on line.
Yeah.
Neller is more of a guy than the other two. Dunford's like a saint in the Marine Corps. He is. He's like Saint Joe. Mattis, you know, he's got some rough edges, and Neller's a straight up knuckle dragger. Okay. But he likes Star Trek, which I don't understand. But he looks more like a dragnet guy to me, as I said. But they don't
deviate. Star 54, where are you guys?
They don't deviate from the line of your code of conduct. Now, when you take on a female aide, you better be walking the straight and narrow, because the one thing you can't mess around with in the Marine Corps is gender shit. You want to dance?
And personal servitude stuff. That line is very, very thin. It's like thread.
Oh, and let me just tell you, you might try some of that shit with a guy. Like, hey, will you be a guy and go over to the gym and we'll lift? But You start doing that stuff with a woman, and you go near that. Come on, man, that's just straight up stupid. So that's why I agree with Mike. I started reading this yesterday, and it was like, come on, man, is this true? Who wrote this? Who wrote this?
I literally was like, this has to be like a Zoltra moment.
It's crazy. All right. I say that story for Mike. I didn't want to get into it earlier because it's too funny. And I know, you guys are laughing at somebody else's misfortune. This is not misfortune. This is self-inflicted stupidity, exploiting somebody else. You deserve everything you get. You can't play the victim card. You can't act like Bill Clinton if you do this, okay? It ain't happening. Okay. Email. Mac, ask the gunner if he likes Kentucky Fried Chicken. He's a foodie. Yeah, do you like Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Mm-mm.
You don't?
No.
All right. All right.
Chicken Express.
Chicken Express? Where do they have Chicken Express?
Down here.
Oh. So what, describe, is it fried chicken? Is it grilled chicken?
Yeah, it's fried chicken. It's fried.
It's fried?
They have grilled, too.
They have grilled. So when you go there, do you get the fried or the grilled?
Fried.
Yeah, I like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mashed potatoes, gravy, coleslaw, and the biscuit with honey and butter. Come on, man. It's like straight up American food.
Yeah,
right,
that's
there.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
that's
thank
good
you.
Stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. When you go to get, what do you call it? Miracle Chicken? What do you call it?
Chicken Express.
When you go get Chicken Express, what do you get? What kind of side dishes do you get?
Same thing. Coleslaw, mashed potatoes, that kind of thing.
All right, here's a follow-up question. Ask him if he eats the skin. Do you eat the skin?
That's the best part.
Yeah. I only get the chicken to eat the skin. I eat the chicken meat, because it's underneath the skin. But make no mistake about it. If they had like a 12-pack of chicken skins, I would straight up eat that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're going Kentucky Fried Chicken, you're not really worried about your health, your cholesterol level, or anything like that. You're just looking for something that you're like, yeah, man, I haven't had that in a long time. Could I get like a 12-pack of the chicken skins? Ooh, yeah, you can. No meat, just chicken skin. All right. How hot's it going to get in Texas today? Going to be 102 here on the coast. Okay, let me say that again, 102.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Isn't it? So what's it going to be in Riverside? 150. Yeah.
It's going to be miserable.
It is going to be. And then if it stays this way for a couple of days, the smog will drop down. Yeah. You'll hear that.
Yep.
Yeah. It won't be pretty. It'll be ugly, straight up ugly. How hot's it getting in? Why am I asking you? I can tell you what the temperatures. You want to know the weather forecast for Granbury today?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to check the weather here on All Marine Radio. Weather provided to you by Turner Construction. All right. Granbury, Texas. Currently, partly cloudy, 90 degrees. Feels like 97. Humidity sitting at 52%. Pressure is dropping. Right now it's 30.25. I don't have any idea what that means. Winds are out of the northeast at 3, on our way today to a high air temperature of 95 degrees. So there you have it, 95. Tonight in the forecast, thunderstorms and a low of 76. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 95. Saturday night, no mention of thunder or rain, a low of 74. And on Sunday, mostly sunny and a high of 94. That's your current and your weather information up to the minute here on KMAC, KMAC, your home for it here in Granbury, Texas. Boom! How about that? That's professional, straight up, Mike, just so you know.
That is.
Do you know who Ed Schultz is?
Mm-mm.
He had the Ed Show on MSNBC. Do you remember that guy?
No.
Okay. He was kind of a Democratic talk show host, but he only did that after he was like a little Rush Limbaugh, And then two Democratic senators said, hey, we think we can get this Democratic show going. We'd like you to be the host, but you got to change some of your policies. So, like, I think most people with integrity would say, I can't do that. He fell in the bathtub, hit his head, and woke up and said, I'm a Democrat. And but this is hilarious. This is the funny part of the story. You come from that neck of the woods, Eden Prairie. Okay, how important is hunting in Minnesota?
Oh, it's a daily thing. Everybody does it.
Okay, how important is fishing in Minnesota?
That's like you have to fish.
You have to fish in the land of 10,000 lakes. You have to fish. Okay.
Yeah, it's now, required of you. Yeah.
What happens to your reputation as a hunter if you shoot your dog?
It depends.
Okay.
But normally it goes to crap, yeah.
Yeah, not something. It's kind of a, unless there's some type of extenuating circumstance, well, Ed shot his dog and, yeah, it did not, I mean, he would go in public and people that didn't like him would heckle him. He didn't take it very well. But anyway, he passed away yesterday in Washington, D.C. He then, listen to this, after MSNBC dumped him, he went to work for the Russian television, RT, Russian. He went to work for them. Come on, man. Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, no.
I met him as a young broadcaster, and he gave me some advice. He said, remember, Mac, it's show business. I was like, what does that mean? Don't let anything else get in the way. It's show business. Always remember that. You'll do great. And I thought.
Yeah, never let the truth cloud you.
Mike, that's exactly. And if you remember, if you think about that advice, for him to go from Republican to Democrat, from Democrat to Russia, it's like, hey, man, it's show business, baby. What do I got to be? I can hit my head again. Not an issue for me. So, anyway. Anyway, but he passed away, so I'm not bad mouthing him. I'm just saying that's kind of the way he lived his life. Another question about Kentucky Fried Chicken. Hey Mac, does the Gunner make fried chicken? He's a foodie. I would think probably he does. Everybody's got a fried chicken recipe. Are you a fried chicken?
No,
guy?
It's too messy. I don't make it. No,
it is messy. So when you have chicken, you bake it.
Yeah, I'd bake it or grill it.
Yeah, my mom didn't do fried chicken either. I wonder if it was for that reason, because it is a mess, right? You got to get the fryer out and all that. But people that can make good fried chicken. Today's National Fried Chicken Day. In case you didn't know that, that's how the subject came up.
Oh.
All right. Another email, Mac. I'd be curious. Will he be court-martialed? Will he be disciplined? What happens to a brigadier general when something like this happens? Mike, what do you think will happen to him?
It depends on what's uncovered during the investigation.
Well, we're reading about the investigation, so if those are...
Well, no, we're not.
If those are generalizations of the findings of fact, what do you think happens to him? Here's the question. Is he done?
Oh, yeah.
He's done.
Yeah, he's done.
And he didn't assault anybody or do anything crazy. He's just stupid. So the stupid prize that he wins is he's allowed to retire. Because he will never be able to be confirmed for any other rank with this in his when somebody can tee this up on national TV and say, Did you or did you not do this with a female Marine officer? Did you or did you not order her to do things? Do you think women are subservient to you? Yeah, the Marine Corps would never have that. So,
no.
As we speak, he's being towed to catapult one or two, and he will be launched out of the Marine Corps. But allowed to retire at his current rank. What's his current rank? Colonel? Good question. Is he a brigadier general yet? We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so frock doesn't get you paid, right? A frocked Brigadier General is a colonel.
A colonel.
That's right. All right, Mac, you guys have predictions for this afternoon's soccer game. Gunner, you want to make a prediction? You don't. You haven't been predicting so much. You're just kind of an appreciator.
I've been picking France the whole way. So.
So you got your French thing going. How about in Brazil and Belgium? You want to pick a winner there?
You know, I'm picking Belgium. Just simply because, you know, the way they play. But you never know. I mean, this is one of those. It's a tough one.
Oh, now you're going to hedge. I say I'm picking
Brazil. But I'm going to go with Belgium.
I'm picking Brazil. And let me tell you why. Because Neymar faked, like you can't even imagine an injury. You know, you thought he had, you know, you thought he had a single amputation from an IED in the middle of the game. And they showed it over and over and over. He's sitting there talking, and all of a sudden he starts screaming and grabbing his leg. Then he stays in the game. It's pretty un-American.
Yeah.
Pretty un-American.
Neymar's known for that, though. That's why I don't like watching
Neymar. I mean, Brazil?
They're all like that, but I think the South American guys are the worst when it comes to that stuff.
You know what? I would agree with you. It's why I wasn't going to choose Brazil. I don't want to choose a Latin American country because they lay on the grass too much and they act like just chicks about it. One more reason. One more reason to like ice hockey. Okay? Yeah.
Yep.
When you get your teeth knocked out, you spit them on the ice and you keep going. Hopefully somebody finds them and takes them to your dentist and they can put them back in. But, yeah, this soccer sometimes is, come on. But I agree with you. It's interesting. European teams don't seem to do that as much as Latin American teams do. Interesting. In fact, the Mexican coach.
No, they're notorious for it. Yeah.
The Mexican coach called him out and said, you know, his stuff is juvenile and stupid after Mexico lost to Brazil.
So, yeah.
Here's another email. Mac, I have another ammunition question for the Gunner. I've listened to a couple of your shows recently about the Glock 19 and the 45. I purchased a 9mm years ago. Could the Gunner give me ammunition recommendation for self-defense in my home?
Yeah, I say this. Go with the Hornady Critical Duty.
The Hornady Critical Duty?
The Hornady Critical Duty, yeah.
Hornady? H-O-R-N-I-D-Y?
Yeah, something like that.
Hornady Critical Duty type of ammunition. Why?
It's just a good performing round. Performs well.
H-O-R-N-A-D-Y, Critical Duty. Hornady Manufacturing. So why do you recommend that for home defense? Just good standard ammunition?
It's just a good all-around bullet.
Oh, all right. All right. There you have it. There's the recommendation. H-O-R-N-A-D-Y, Critical Defense.
Yeah, Critical Defense. I always say duty, but Critical
No,
defense.
They have critical. It says Critical Duty Ammo Gel Test. Ooh. Do you like these gel test things? Are they pretty valid? Are they garbage? What do you think? Are they just a piece of data? Ooh, it's a video. Yeah, showing a guy shooting a Glock and at a metal silhouette target, and then they're going to do a little ammunition test on the Hornady Critical Duty ammunition. Then they have Critical Defense ammunition. Critical Defense ammunition looks like they both look like a little bit of a hollow tip. What is that?
Yeah, they have a silicone plug. Yeah, but it's a hollow point.
So it's a hollow point. Silicone plug in there. Is the silicone plug just in there for aerodynamic properties? Keep it?
An expansion, yeah. Both.
Okay, all right.
It forms long expansion.
See how, I'm becoming an ammunition expert?
Yeah, I noticed that.
Why didn't you say something like, hey, Mac, you know, you're getting pretty savvy to the whole world of ammunition. Why do you think that is?
Because I don't need to tell you that.
Oh, you can't ever give a compliment? That's pretty cool. So what is the difference between critical duty and critical defense ammunition?
I don't know. What does it say?
All right. We're going to try that again, and we're going to redo the answer. We're going to give you a do-over. Yeah.
I have no idea what the difference is. I just know, I mean, it's just a brand name.
Okay. All right. They're shooting six different types of ammunition through a Glock 19. Air 78 degrees, Block 70 degrees. Ooh, one. I'm looking small hole, looking at the gel. Now we have a badminton racket. I'm not sure. Why do we have a badminton racket at the shot?
Oh, badminton racket?
Yeah, badminton. It just gives you some idea for size. Got it. Then it shows the so when we look at these things, Mike, it shows the path that the round travels. Small opening.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, maybe an inch or two in, the thing expands, and then whoa.
And then yeah, it's probably a huge.
Yeah, then it gets big, right? The river gets really big, and then it kind of goes back a little bit smaller as it travels. And then you can see, like, the shock waves as they go through that gel, yay? And then you have the round where it comes to a stop. Wow. And so that gel gives you some idea not only of the what the round does, but also the shock wave it sends through the body as well?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm watching the forensics of it. Because now that I'm an ammunition expert, I need... Whoa, look at the round. Look at the round. The round's remarkably intact. I mean, if you've ever seen a round that's hit anything, it's like annihilated. This is like perfect. The ballistic properties, you could see like the... It looks like a daisy, kind of. So the bottom part of the round... is still intact with the copper jacket, but the top part of the round is peeled back almost perfectly like a petaled flower. Is that the way it's designed?
Look at you, man. You are an expert now.
Well, I've never paid that close attention to it. Oh, a gel test, boo. And normally they just show the round going into it and blah 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 blah. But these guys freeze the frame and show you the round itself, and it's amazing how intact the round is to include the silicone plug. When they kind of moved around, the silicone plug was still there. Pretty impressive. Yeah. Pretty amazing. So. That's how your ammunition, if we would have been savvier in 1903 about ammunition, we would have never had the 45.
Right.
We would have.
Yeah, if we would have been a little smarter when it came to picking out stuff, yeah.
We would never would have developed the 45. We would have just got different ammunition for the 38. Then when we developed the 45, we would have developed what? Some permutation of both. Magazine-fed weapon, semi-automatic, and the caliber that was appropriate given the ballistics that we were looking for. How about that?
Right. Yeah.
Gunner Mac. Gunner Mac. What's up? The, all that gunner stuff, like it's really hard. Here's another question about ammunition. I'm embarrassed to say this, and then in parentheses, well, I'm actually not. I've learned a ton listening to Mike talk about ammunition. Just wanted to give him a shout out. And now every person that tells me about stopping power, I bitch slap them like it was yesterday. I just air Mike's argument out and roll my eyes and tell them they're stupid. And I end the whole conversation with, I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid. Ultimately, they all... ultimately, you know what? Everybody steals from everybody else, okay? And nobody footnotes. Very few people footnote. But we all pick up things that we hear people say. But that is, yeah, there you have it. There you have it. That's the way to do it. But it is interesting, the history of ordinance items. Somebody I was talking to the other day talked about listening to you describe the 45 as a smoothbore pistol, which is why the rounds went everywhere when we were attempting to qualify with it in the 80s. And he said, essentially, I never really got an explanation. I knew they were loose and whatnot, but smoothbore pistol, who would have thunk? Yeah, interesting. Interesting. So Gunner making a smart. Another email. Mac, what's Gunner's favorite part of studying weapons and ammunition? Do you have a favorite part?
Probably the history of how they came to be and what was the thinking behind it.
Right. I always find that
the guns we use were just made because, you know, there's not a lot of science that went behind them.
Somebody liked the idea, and so they made it, and then somebody said, let's give it a try.
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of thinking went into them.
So we didn't kind of look at the requirement and then build back from that. It was
No. Yeah. We did it the opposite way.
Somebody builds something, we say, hey, this would be good if we use that for this. Yeah,
right.
That's not exactly an effective way, but keeps people in business. But you would have thought, when did Mike, in your opinion, and because you've studied history, I always find, and I don't care if you're talking about bridges or, you know, whatever kind of thing that you're looking at. When you look at something, you say, why did this come into being? For instance, do you know who invented the air conditioner, Mike?
No, who?
Mr. Carrier. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. He invented it. You know what he did? The thing that that we did with heat, he just reversed it. He put cold water through coils instead of warm water and a fan. He said, well, what if I put cold water through this? What will happen? And found that he could control. And the problem he was solving, kind of interesting, in the summer, running newspaper presses, the paper expanded and the print ran. And so the printing process was not as clean and pristine as it was in the wintertime because of the ambient heat in the press room. So they were looking for a technical solution to it, and so he was trying to find a way. And because of using paper, if you increase the humidity, it would have an effect. So he's trying to decrease humidity and cool the place down. Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting. I love that kind of the history behind something. And I'm always fascinated by it. So, but you would think that weapons would be a little bit more deliberate, right? That this is what we're looking for.
Oh, no, no.
Let's give those quote-unquote requirements to somebody and have them build it for us. When does the DOD get, or have they yet, when does the DOD get really scientific about requirements and having weapons made for them as opposed to buying something that somebody's peddling to us?
I think probably not until much later when money was a little bit harder to come by, so they had to make sure that they bought the right thing.
All right, for instance, the M1 Garand was not developed by the Army, was brought to them?
Right.
The Browning automatic rifle brought to them, not developed by them?
Yeah, there was no requirement. I mean, requirements didn't come into them. Shit, probably the M16 was probably the first. Well, even the M16 can be argued that it wasn't really a necessity. It was brought to the forefront. I don't remember like when that would have been. Like, would have been the first requirement kind of gun.
And that'd be interesting.
Hey, we have this deficiency. Yeah. We need to fulfill it. What do you think will, you know, what the requirement would be?
And then somebody draws up the requirement, and then that gets fielded to vendors, and people begin to develop prototypes. Yes.
Right. Not until much later.
All right.
Much, much later. Beretta 9mm probably.
Final question.
M16. No, the M16 would have been because they wanted something smaller, lighter. So LeMay, the Air Force General, he's kind of behind that whole thing.
Curtis LeMay?
Yeah, the M16, he's like a champion of it.
Just what we need.
We learned a lesson. Don't let the Air Force ever wear a requirement.
Just what we need, Air Force dudes getting involved in developing rifles.
Of guns, yeah. Jesus. But, I mean, you look at a lot of that stuff, even planes, like World War II. The P-51 Mustang was actually a requirement. They needed a long-range fighter. A lot of planes before that, they were just brought out and demoed, and the Air Force and the military were like, or the Army Air Corps were, yeah, we need that. Or bombers. We need long-range bombers. So they started developing that.
So the first requirement. Interesting. I find that institutional kind of behavior, I always find it really, really interesting. If you look at, I've done a lot of reading about military education, and I mean, for the most part, in the United States, what a shit show. You know, tried to copy people, didn't work very well, but it kind of got institutionalized. Nobody wanted really to overhaul it, so we just did it. What?
Right.
Yeah, that's the way it was. Anyway, I had a question for you, but I forgot what it was. It had to do with weapons and institutions. And I can't remember it. All right, man. Any big plans for the weekend?
I got a situational awareness class tomorrow.
Whoa. And who are we teaching it to?
The ladies.
The ladies? Yeah. When are you going to unveil your website so we can all take a look at it?
I'll let you know.
Gunner.com.
Yeah, ask the gunner.
AskTheGunner.com. All right. Just checking. All right, man.
How's the experiment going, though?
Oh, the Expeditionary Broadcasting Experiment?
Yeah.
The EBE? It's moving. It's moving.
Good.
I have a few more issues to solve, and then it's done.
All right. I'm still holding my breath.
Don't do that. Hate to see you pass out.
No, but I mean, it'd be fun. We got to do it.
No, I'm with you. So I'm trying. So yeah, it's, you know, listen to this. I didn't have a laptop because I don't need one. I use my phone, right? When I'm not on using my desktop and broadcasting.
Right.
Right. And so I'm that guy who, like, years ago said, there's no way my phone's ever replaced my laptop. Hello. So I go buy a cheap laptop. I had to upgrade the RAM. So I go buy the RAM. I buy the wrong kind twice, thanks to service people who don't know shit. So after that, I'm taking the computer apart. So I watch a YouTube video on how to take it apart. Got it. Go out there, take it apart. But it doesn't really come apart easily. I'm thinking, wow, it must be like some tongue and groove stuff or maybe a couple little plastic fittings. So I just gently put a little pressure on it, and it doesn't come. And I'm like, well, I'm looking at it. I'm like, well, no, this is it. It says this is how you do it. So I put a little more pressure, and then one side comes out, and then I put a little bit more pressure on the front, and that comes off. And I put a little side, and I go around, and they all come off. Well, in the course of continuing to work on it, I watched another YouTube video, and it says, oh, after you take the bottom off, flip it over, remove the keyboard by doing this. Bing, 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 bing. Keyboard comes out. There's four screws that go from top down.
I'm like, ooh.
What? Oh? So I just ripped it apart.
Oh, my God.
I ripped the plastic apart on the motherboard. But guess what? It all works. It all works.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, ultimately, it all worked. But you know what? Watch more than like two or three YouTube videos when you're going to do something. Okay? If I'd have watched this extra one, it would have been so much easier and made so much more sense. I couldn't figure out, why won't it come apart? This is ridiculous. Oh, it'll come apart. Right. It just needs a little bit of finesse. Oh, there you go. Oh, wow, this is awesome.
Well, the reason I say that is we're like right at about a month or under a month now that we're going to be in North Carolina.
Are we under a month? Is it the 4th, right? August 4th?
Yeah.
T minus 30 and counting. All right.
August 2nd. August 2nd. Thursday.
August 2nd. Change of command on a Thursday. All right. We have to do some serious planning then with Rudy to find out who's actually going and how and what we're going to do.
Okay.
All right. All right. I will talk to you. Have a good weekend.
All right. I'll talk to you.
Yep. Go Yankees. Here, have it. The Gunner. Right out the door. Didn't even know. All right. Hey, Mac, ask Gunner if he didn't choose Marines for a career, what would his other options have been? You know what? Let me put a star next to this, and I'll ask him. My other option was going to be I was going to join the Marine Corps or go and be a coach and a teacher. I thought I would enjoy that in my life. Essentially the same elements as you that are involved in Marine Corps leadership. But I only wanted to do it. I wanted to do it at a Catholic school because of the discipline. And I wanted to do it at an all-boys Catholic high school. I knew the money wasn't going to be great, but I thought for me that would be it's something that makes sense to me. Something that makes sense to me. So we'll ask Gunner on Monday. Well, that's Gunner on Monday. Another email. Mac, you're a dumbass. When you're working on computers and computer products, you don't need the finesse. What? What do you mean I don't need the finesse? I did. You ripped the plastic screw receptacles out of the motherboard, you moron. Yeah? And so what's your point? First of all, you don't need 15 screws to hold that together. Okay, it's not like anybody's trying to pull it apart. Hey, it all went back together. They're just plastic pieces. They all lined up again. And so after I pulled it out, so there was like some plastic shrapnel that was on the motherboard, and so as I turned it over, all of a sudden I see these like bits and pieces of plastic, shrapnel. I'm like, where'd those come from? Like, what? I don't know. It must be something on the edge or something. I don't know. Yeah, but there was more than like a little bit. There was a lot of it. Not a lot. There wasn't a lot. There was just more than there should have been. You know, if it came apart clean, there shouldn't have been any, right? Here's another one. Seriously, I just listened to the discussion about General Uribe. It does sound like a satire piece that you'd read in a duffel blog. Him coming from his job as the IG of the Marine Corps? Come on. If that guy doesn't know how to keep walking the straight and narrow, then nobody should. That guy's so screwed. Seriously, when you're talking about it, it does sound absolutely ridiculous. Can't make it up. Aviators, man, they do that kind of stuff. And we love to we love to point it out. But again, I can hear Rudy saying, he was a KC-130 pilot, man. Come on. They're not really pilots. They're kind of helicopter guys. But the helicopter goes straight instead of up-down. He got a point. His point would be they're a lesser form of life than fighter pilots. Because when you're a fighter pilot, yeah. I used to introduce him like that. Hey, this is Rudy Metro, our air officers. And then, you know, oh, nice to meet you. Did I mention that they're fighter pilots? Just bust their balls. Yeah, they are. Really, they're fighter pilots. I loved it. And whoever I'd be introducing them to, whatever. Yeah, General Petraeus rolled in on us one day. Sir, this is Mac. He and Napa Man run the COC in here. And then, yeah, for Ness, who's taking over 2nd Marine Division, he says, and then, you know, just tell General Petraeus what we're doing today. I said, okay, I could do that. So, on a Friday, short week, thank God. Hopefully we'll get another one pretty soon. What, the next holiday is August, right? Labor Day. That sucks, man. That's almost 2 months away. Anyway, have a great day. Thanks for listening. I'm going to post the Calvin Butts audio because, truth be told, the stuff, again, we see on TV, that's not the country I know. It's not the people that I know that I've seen in my life. I've grown up around. They're great people, people that care. So you're going to get another installment of inspiration. So don't touch that dial. If you haven't heard Calvin Butts, you need to listen to him. Because we are the United States of America. God bless America. So anyway, and I'm not saying that wrapping myself in the flag. What I'm saying is that we've solved a lot of problems in this country. And a lot of the problems that we've solved them first on the planet. Okay? Yeah. You know, anybody in Japan saying anything to an American about racism, they can shut up, okay? They don't look, Japanese culture as a whole, they don't accept blacks into their culture. They accept Japanese. Yeah. So, we've gone through that stuff, so be it. So, we don't need to apologize to anybody. And just know this, our nightly news people take the craziest crap that they can find in this country and shove it in your face so that you'll listen and you'll click. Okay? That is not representative of what goes on in this country on a daily basis. So, I feel the need to, like, spread that gospel. And I'm not trying to pump sunshine up anybody's ass. Okay? What I am trying to do is just point out things that are real and true. Okay? Real and true. So, have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. Some cool stuff next week. I'm not going to spoil. Well, if you read a recent story about a retired Marine Corps major by the name of Jim Capers, he's going to be on next week. Okay? And Grant Newsham hopefully will be on with us next week. Linda Fields, talk about resumes again, going to be on next week. So next week, going to be an awesome week. Have a great weekend on a Friday. All Marine Radio is over and out.